We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hour number two is here with us, and great to be here with you. Super Tuesday edition of the show. Thank you so very, very much. Florida State falls to Virginia over the weekend. Love to see that. You know, if you think about it, are there certain teams in sports that, you know, and this challenges your morals kind of as a person, right? Because, and I'm okay with it. Some people say it's unchristian-like to root for other people to fail, but I think sports are a game. I think sometimes we take them too seriously, and I realize they are the profession of some people, but I still look at it like a game, and you can root against your rival all you want, and I think that's totally okay, and I think that's totally healthy. By the way, thanks to Carol at CHM202 for tweeting in. She quote-tweeted me, stat sheets are like bikinis. They show a lot, but sadly not all. And she gave me three crying, laughing emojis, Lonzo. So Carol is enjoying the show. Carol, appreciate that. Appreciate you tuning in so very much. A reporter and a fan at the University of Florida ran into Steve Spurrier on campus. And she told Steve Spurrier that her dad is a Florida State fan. And she anticipated getting slapped upside the head with a piece of paper that Steve Spurrier had rolled in his hand. Instead, Steve Spurrier told her, "Tell your dad Taggart is a great coach and FSU should offer him a 10-year extension." Okay? Steve Spurrier, old man, never change. Never change. Because you see, Florida State was an underdog at Virginia on Sunday. They had no business being an underdog because the composite rankings that tell you the total talent on the roster of Florida State has Florida State as the sixth most talented team in the country. That's more talented than Clemson in terms of the players on the roster as they came to the school out of high school. Now, why is Clemson more talented than Florida State today? Because of the player development that goes on there. It's the player development program at Clemson is second to none. But out of high school, the players on the roster at Florida State would give the Seminoles the sixth best raw talent in the nation among the 85 scholarship players. Virginia was 59th in total talent. And even those who covered that game, Florida State and Virginia, said the talent discrepancy between the two teams was obvious at times. And Florida State still lost the game. Here is Paul Feinbaum on Florida State's predicament with Willie Taggart.
I don't know if Florida State really wants to eat that $17 million just to get rid of him. Now, should they consider getting rid of him? Absolutely. There's virtually nothing he has done right in two very short years. Last year was a disaster. This year, they gave up that three-touchdown lead to BYU. They beat Louisiana Monroe on a missed extra point in overtime, and last week they lost to a good Virginia team, maybe one of the better teams in the ACC, which, by the way, guys, is not saying very much. After Clemson, the ACC has nothing.
Well, Paul Feinbaum tripped up a little bit. They didn't blow a three-touchdown lead against BYU. They blew it to Boise State. But I think the point remains, and the point is very, very well understood. Let's get to Delvin, who's up next on the show. Delvin, thanks for patiently waiting. You're up next on the show, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. A couple things. First, I agree with you about Ron Hollinsky, man. He's talented. And I'm not telling you what I'm going to lean. I'm sort of leaning one way right now, but it looks like I'm leaning towards Carolina against Missouri. I'll let you know Thursday probably where I'm going to be, who I'm going for. But as far as you said Brent Venables, who you take Brent Venables? If he can get a good offensive coordinator, I would take Brent Venables.
Okay, well, as is, right now, you can swap it out. You can have Brent Venables in place of Will Muschamp. Would you make that trade?
Yes, because I think he'll come up with a different scheme. You see what he's doing now? He comes up with different schemes every week.
what we are seeing Clemson do with this defense, with all that they've lost. They lost six linebackers, three first-round NFL draft picks, and Austin Bryant, who went in the fourth round. They have more sacks through three games than they did a year ago. They are allowing 4.4 yards a drop back. They allowed 7.1 yards a drop back through the first three games last year, and they've played a more difficult schedule, three Power 5 opponents to start the year versus Furman and Georgia Southern, two out of the three last year. Brent Venables is the best defensive coach at any level of football, period, Delvin.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, because we never know. Mark, he could line up with all his defensive linemen at defensive back this week. We never know. He come on with something.
And I'll be honest with you, Delvin, thanks for the call. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how, or I know that Clemson is paying him as a head coach. I know he's making $2.1 million a year. But his ability has reached such an incredible status. He's not only proven himself as a defensive coordinator. Brent Venables has proven himself as a fantastic leader of men at this point. And you start looking at the coaches that might be out and the places that might interest Brent Venables should he be out. Here are the top 10 coaches on Coach's Hot Seat ranking, coacheshotseat.com, as of today. Number 10, Steve Adazio, Boston College, just lost to Kansas at home. Number 9, Charlie Strong, USF. That doesn't entice Brent Venables, in my opinion. Number 8, Chris Ash, Rutgers. Doesn't entice Brent Venables, in my opinion. Number 7, Clay Helton, USC, lost to BYU. Might incentivize Brent Venables. Number 6, Lovie Smith, Illinois. Doesn't move the needle for Brent Venables. Number 5, Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee. They get Florida this weekend. Why am I a little bit nervous about this game as a Florida fan? I think Tennessee is better than people think they are. They're 0-2, but they took BYU to overtime, which is almost hilarious to say, but BYU just beat USC, right? Number 4 is Justin Fuente, Virginia Tech. Number 3, here you go, Will Muschamp, South Carolina, has the third hottest seat in the country. Number 2, Willie Taggart, Florida State. Number 1, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly has the hottest seat. Man, what is going on there, man? Unbelievable. Has the hottest seat in the country with the UCLA Bruins. I think UCLA, Florida State, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Tennessee, those five jobs with the five hottest seats in America, I think Brent Venables would be interested in any one of those jobs. Those jobs place him in the Pac-12, the ACC, or the SEC. If you're Brent Venables, you have to look at that, right? Those are the five most likely jobs to come available per coacheshotseat.com, and it's very interesting. Did you hear about this? This, to me, is hilarious. A Florida State booster and his young son are trying a unique tactic to wash out the Willie Taggart era from under the Seminoles football program. Grayton Grant set up a free Willie lemonade stand in Tallahassee on Sunday and charged $20 per cup of lemonade. What is in that lemonade, Grayton Grant? What is in that lemonade exactly? To raise funds toward Taggart's $17 million buyout. The effort raised $241, including $100 from one person. That will be matched by Grayton's father, Daniel Grant. Grant plans to send a $482 check to Seminole Boosters, Inc. on Monday. The check also includes a typed note signed by Grayton that says, "I'm tired of losing football games and being made fun of at school for being a Seminole fan. At 4, I am already starting to gravitate towards the color orange. You don't want that for an innocent kid like me." Gravitating towards Florida, Lonzo. Orange is Florida.
No, you said he's 4?
He's 4.
I'm guessing his dad wrote that.
Maybe.
Probably. If he didn't, then this is a really smart kid.
Yes. They said they'll never stop supporting the team. They just want the team to get back to winning their winning ways. Lonzo, I must ask the question. Would a maneuver like this work for Columbia? Would that work for Will Muschamp? Because I keep hearing nothing but sweet nothings about Ray Tanner toward Will Muschamp. And you know that I've predicted he's going to be fired at the conclusion of next season. He's number 3 on the hot seat rankings, which means if you're that high, the belief is that you could lose your job this year, right? I mean, out of 130 coaches, for you to be number three out of 130, that means the temperature's hot. That means you're feeling the pressure. Will Muschamp right now is in between Willie Taggart and Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech, two coaches who have accomplished absolutely nothing since they've gotten to their new schools. What do you say? Lemonade to fire Muschamp. Might we see that outside of Williams-Brice on a Saturday near you?
I mean, it's a great sentiment, but it's not going to work. I'd rather see boosters start to take their money away from the school. That would probably have a little more of a push as far as getting rid of them. If people say, you know what, if you're keeping this guy, I'm done. I'm not giving you my money anymore. Then suddenly they'll pay more attention.
It's amazing to me that Clemson has been able to hang on to Brent Venables as long as they have. I mean, that is amazing. And I get pay is a big part of it. Happiness is a big part of it. But certainly at some point, if you're Brent Venables, you want to challenge yourself as a head coach, right?
But see, he is challenged every single year. When you lose like five guys, all the starters he loses in a year to the NFL, that is a challenge to him to come back next year. Because every year he is questioned, I've done it myself, about, yeah, now we're going to find out what kind of a coach he is. And he comes back next year and he does the same thing. So I think he's challenged every year and I think he's happy where he is. Sometimes you find home and you just stay there.
You do realize as a Gamecocks fan, the best thing for you would be for him to leave, right?
Yeah, I get it. But I'm also realistic.
He's 48 years old, plenty young enough, you know, for the next 17 years to lead a program to great heights. I don't know how he wouldn't want to challenge himself at this point to see what he's able to do, to see if he can take, to completely control every element of the program.
See, I get that you've got a little bit of a wanderlust yourself. You move around from place to place.
I do.
I think some people are more like me when they find a home. They're happy there, and they stay at that home.
Well, I will amend that, Lonzo, to say this. I have been a bit of a wanderlust. I would like the upstate to be my home, okay? I would like listeners of our show to be able to hear this show and throw sharp, pointy objects at me when indicated for the next 20 years. I would love for that to be the case. I hope for that to be the case. But I'm looking.
You're not going to be able to dodge after about five more years when they throw stuff that's going to hit you.
I'm looking at these jobs. I'm looking at the hottest seats in America. And I think all five, UCLA, Florida State, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and Tennessee, would be of interest to Brent Venables.
But his name is mentioned every time that there are jobs open. Do you recall ever hearing him interviewing for anything?
No, I don't. But I also have heard that, you know, he would be enticed, could be incentivized if the right job comes off open. I think all five of these could be the right job for him. I really do.
Maybe the right job is Clemson. Maybe he's just waiting for that job to come open.
And we know that it could. Coming your way next, proof that Brent Venables might be the guy at Clemson sooner rather than later. Plus, some disturbing news and notes on Cam Newton. A stat that doesn't bode well for Cam is coming your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. Super Tuesday edition of the show today. Okay, so some troubling news for the Carolina Panthers. They're on the road this coming Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals that Lonzo is a big believer in, and Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and all of that good stuff. But they're on the road, and the reports that we are getting right now is that Cam Newton may have suffered a re-aggravation of his foot injury, which may make his status uncertain for this coming Sunday's game against said Arizona Cardinals. A difficult blow. Look, we've said from the beginning, whereas we were very high on Carolina, We said that it would solely depend on the health, whether they were able to achieve my lofty predictions for them. 11-5 this year would depend largely on Cam Newton and his health. Now, I thought he was going to remain healthy. Lonzo and I were at Carolina Panthers training camp. I saw nothing to indicate at training camp that he wasn't, in fact, healthy. But you, when the first team defense is in there, and it's he, and from the opposing teams, they're coming at him and the ears are pinned back, you can see at the highest level, he is not the Cam Newton that we have come to know and love. We asked you the question on Friday's show, what should the plan be for the Carolina Panthers at the quarterback position? Should they cut bait from Cam Newton right now? Should they give him the season to turn it around? Or has Cam Newton, with all that he's done for the franchise, earned the right to go out on his own terms, whenever that may be? And I think it was an interesting question that a lot of you guys responded to in big numbers on the show on Friday, which I really, really appreciate. But it's, you know, that reality is hitting the Carolina Panthers today. And then there is this statistic, which is released. This coming from Steve Palazzolo. Here are the highest percentage of uncatchable passes through 2 weeks, okay, in the NFL. Uncatchable passes. Number six, Matt Stafford, 22.9% of his passes are uncatchable. Number six, hopefully Lonzo will go deaf for the next 5 seconds. Kyler Murray, 22.9% of his passes are uncatchable. Kirk Cousins, 27% of his passes are uncatchable. Boy, you're loving this list, Lonzo, aren't you? Number three, Ryan Fitzpatrick, awful team, but 27.3% of his passes are uncatchable. So you're seeing where we're going here. 23%, 27%, 27%. Mitchell Trubisky, number two, 27.8% of his passes are uncatchable. Drafted ahead of Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. All right. And then finally, Cam Newton leads the list by a large margin, folks, by a massive margin. 34.2% of Cam Newton's passes are uncatchable. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of one number anywhere that screams that he's not right than this number. He is far and away worse than any other quarterback in the league right now at throwing uncatchable balls. 34.2% of Cam Newton's passes are uncatchable. Number two is 27.8%. This is a horrible, horrible look for Cam Newton. And sadly for the Panthers, I don't know. I was hoping Will Grier would be that guy. I'm not so sure that Will Grier is ready to be that guy at this particular stage. I'm not sure there's a quarterback on the roster with whom the wheels don't fall off if he's thrust in there. That's always your goal, right? To have a backup that can maintain the goals for the team. The Saints have that in Teddy Bridgewater. Okay, we're going to lose Drew Brees for 6 weeks now. We believe we can still win with Teddy Bridgewater. We believe we have a guy who might be better than half the starters in the league. I think the Saints have that guy. I think that they also made Teddy Bridgewater a promise that he'd be the next quarterback after Drew Brees hangs them up, and that's why Bridgewater stayed in New Orleans, if I'm honest with you. But Cam Newton, for me, I mean, gosh, and this is not a bashing Cam Newton segment. What this tells me, Lonzo, highest percentage of uncatchable passes in the league, this is a stat that more than any other shows me he's not right.
So this is just a yearly thing, right? Because I would be curious to see where he's at on that list every year, because he has floaters all the time. They still win games, but he has floaters. He has balls that sail on him more than just about anybody else. It wouldn't shock me if he isn't on that list every single year.
2018, passes from 1 to 20 yards. Cam Newton isn't in the top nine. Not in the top nine. Passes 1 through 20 yards. This season, looking at all passes thrown, he leads the list. 34.2%.
Last year's misleading, too, because he missed a lot of the season. So,
well, I mean, but it's percentage-wise, right? It's
okay.
Based on percentage. So I think this year there's been a major difference. Let's get to Kevin, who's up next. Kevin, thanks for the call, man. You're offsides.
Hey, Mark. How are you today?
It's always great to hear from you, pal.
Hey, listen, I got an idea on the quarterback thing. How much, and you guys may have discussed this, but how much do you think that Andrew Luck just kind of up and retiring is mentally affecting some of these quarterbacks? They're like going, you know, I'm hurting too, and I want to be able to walk and be with my kids and things like that. And do you feel like maybe the quarterback position in the NFL may turn into just a rotating Kyler Murray run and gun type thing where you don't have the classic passers after Brady goes? Will there be room for a Trevor Lawrence, or will it be run and gun and fun type stuff?
Well, Trevor Lawrence can fit any offense you want, Kevin. And as for your point to our quarterbacks sitting around worried about what Andrew Luck is going through, I think there's only a few quarterbacks in the league that fit that kind of profile, that fit the kind of profile where they just can't seem to stay healthy. Their bodies are beaten up. Certainly Cam Newton is one of those. Cam Newton could retire sometime in the next couple of years because he reaches the same conclusion that Andrew Luck does. He's just mentally worn out of all the injuries. But if you go through the list of teams in the NFL, who else fits that bill? Carson Wentz.
What about Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger fits that bill right now. Carson Wentz could. He's a guy that hasn't really seemed to be able to stay healthy over the years, right? He's a guy that fits there. Aaron Rodgers, if Rodgers continues to get injured, continues to break his clavicle, things like that, is another guy. I don't think that fits for Drew Brees. I don't think that fits for
Matt
Drew Brees.
Ryan, yeah. Matt Ryan really hasn't been injured that much, has he?
No, not at all.
Or what about Stafford?
Not a whole lot. Stafford has been pretty accurate.
I think a bunch early on, but lately, no, not so much.
Early in his career, yeah. So, I mean, I understand
Rivers,
what you're saying.
Philip Rivers is he's pretty healthy, right?
Always.
Yeah.
Death tax.
It seems like they might all be thinking, you know, I'm making $25 million a year. How much do I want to put my body through it? Did Andrew Luck really make sense on what he did?
Thanks so much.
Even though I hate it. All right, thank you.
Appreciate the call, Kevin. Thank you very much. Look, certainly when Andrew Luck makes that decision, it can give rise to other players considering it. I just think Andrew Luck was done. Like, you get to a point in any relationship, work or personal, where you don't have it in you to continue that anymore. And I think that's the point that Andrew Luck got to with the Colts.
Well, there's another thing about Andrew Luck. I mean, you went to Stanford. He's a smart guy. He's a guy who can do something somewhere else. A lot of these guys, football is all there is for them. And I think that had a factor into it, too. I think Andrew Luck will be a great business owner and do a lot of things elsewhere. And I don't think some of these guys, all they think about is football and they don't think about anything else.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is a different dude. He's a well-rounded dude, which lends credence to the fact that he may not be coming back, right? Because for him to make that decision, I mean, I think he really just got to the point where he didn't want to do it anymore, and I don't think that's a feeling or an emotion that is very likely to change anytime soon. A check on Twitter where Sports and Culture says that stat about Cam Newton is staggering. It's the foot, hard to plant and accurately make a throw. Lonzo, what's the latest you're seeing on this foot situation with Cam Newton?
That is questionable. No one's saying for sure if he's playing Sunday or not. But
the same foot that he injured against the New England Patriots.
The fact that they're throwing it out there, it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play.
By the way, on our Ingles College Football Kickoff Show with Nine and Fat Boy, where we 5 hours before the Clemson kickoff, we do a college football preview show that's a ton of fun, a lot on college football lifestyle, tailgating, and we talk all the big games and things like that. Lonzo, I try to come up with names for Fat Boy every week that have something to do with the name Pat, and I replace it with Fat. So this weekend, his names were Patrick Swayze, and he was a fan of the New England Patriots. You know, so those are my names for Fat Boy. There will be two new names this week. I'm challenging myself to come up with names every single week for him. We will see how it goes. But this week, we will be live on location at the Ingles in Easley, South Carolina. So I'm getting a tour of the upstate with these shows, man. It's a ton of fun. And I'll tell you what else, Lonzo. Each and every week, there have been fans coming up wanting autographs from these guys. This week, this woman, this Clemson fan and a Rise Guys fan, baked two huge totes of Crown Royal chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies fresh out of the oven. These totes had at least 50 cookies in them each. Get one for Fat Boy, one for Nine, and your boy Mark Ryan's just sitting there in the corner, man. This is happening every week. I'm like, there is a three-person booth here, ladies and gentlemen, right? But it is cool to see.
You need to get used to that because it's going to be that those guys have been around for a long time. They're well known in the upstate.
Do I need to get used to that? Is that where we are?
We are, but you know, maybe through osmosis, people will start to recognize you. I don't know. Hey.
Alongside Fat Boy and Nine, I am merely Mark Ryan in the corner over here. It is fantastic, but it's cool. It's cool to see them.
You know,
get
behind
their just
Fat
due.
Boy, they couldn't see you anyway. So I mean, you know, he probably should. You know, that many cookies, he probably ate them on the way home. Did you get some of them?
Well, I'm gluten free. So
oh, that's
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But
If they're made out of what you just said, you probably would be tipsy, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Everybody in the club's getting tipsy, Lonzo. Okay. Texter says, Venables may be a good coach, but it has more to do with the players he has at Clemson. Okay, well, he lost three first-round picks on the defensive line. The players that he has at Clemson are that good because he's developing them as such. Realize this, Texter, that the players that Brent Venables has at Clemson are less talented in terms of raw talent than the players Florida State has. Florida State has the sixth most talented roster in the country. Clemson has the ninth most talented roster in the country. It's player development, man, and he gets a tremendous amount of credit for that. All right, coming up next, it is time for Either Or. Which of the following sayings is the most difficult for Mark or Lonzo to say? Either Or is coming your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us. Super Tuesday edition of the show. It was an upset that was so, so darn close that is coming your way at 2:50 p.m. in the 3 o'clock hour. Of course, we have your top three at three presented by Moe's Southwest Grill. Taylor Estes makes her weekly appearance at 3:40. What's been the biggest surprise in college football to her thus far this season and the biggest disappointments? All still to come between now and season's end here on ESPN Upstate. Okay. We like to do it each and every day. It is a mixture of life and sports. You can chime in with your own either-or topics for us at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Let's check on the text line briefly. Mark, South Carolina with Brent Venables would win over 8 games this year. So he's saying 9 games or more they'd win if Brent Venables was the head coach of the Gamecocks now. I asked you earlier in the show, I don't traditionally live in a hypothetical world, but I thought it was interesting given the fact that I think the 5 coaches on the hottest seats this year, Chip Kelly, Willie Taggart, Will Muschamp, Justin Fuente, and Jeremy Pruitt, all coach at places that may potentially increase interest Brent Venables. Where would South Carolina be? Would you trade Muschamp for Brent Venables today if you're a Gamecocks fan? And the early response is, hell yeah, we would trade in Muschamp for Brent Venables. Absolutely, we would consider doing that. Another texter says, come on, Mark, he's getting 5 stars to replace his 5 stars. Brent Venables at Clemson. If his coaching ability is that great, why didn't his first few defenses at Clemson look like this. Sorry, he wouldn't fare any better than Pruitt at UT or Muschamp at USC, unless he could find a way to transfer some of Clemson's boosters with their quote-unquote recruiting system. I see where you're going with that, Texter, I do, but here's the reality of the situation. What was Dabo Swinney as a coach his first few years at Clemson? What was he as a coach? Had a 55% winning percentage. Everyone wanted him gone. I've had Clemson fans tell me, Taylor Gray tell me, they didn't want him as the head coach. They didn't want him to be their guy. All right? And he got better. Brent Venables is better now than he's ever been. You can't act like coaches are stagnant in their ability. Brent Venables today, not 5 years ago, today, is the best defensive mind in all of college football. Either or starts now. All right, Lonzo, here we go with either or on the day. Alabama, in my opinion, is the third best team in the SEC, behind Georgia, number one, and LSU, number two. Buying Alabama as no better than the third best team in the SEC, buy or sell, Lonzo?
I am buying, but I would reverse the order and put LSU in front of Georgia.
Really?
Yes.
So Alabama's number three?
Yes.
According to you?
Yes.
Okay, so South Carolina gave up 571 yards to the third best team in the conference.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. That's my ranking system, folks. I'm buying it. Look, I think the top three are very competitive. Through 25% of the regular season, I think the SEC looks to have three worthy playoff contenders. I think the max they would get would be two, but a case could be made for a third. There are articles right now saying as such online right now. But I don't know. I give a slight edge to Georgia and LSU both today. Lonzo, what do you got?
Okay, according to creditcards.com, men and millennials tip the worst out of everybody.
Millennial men?
Millennials, period.
Okay.
And men, like you and I, tip worse than anybody else. Do you believe this? Are you a good tipper or are you a bad tipper?
I think I'm a fair tipper is how I would describe that.
What would you say your average percentage of tip would be?
The music is playing, so it's not counting as dead air.
No, that's true. I'm asking for a reason.
I'm thinking, well, first of all, most people don't realize this, okay? You're supposed to tip the amount before tax, right? Are you aware of that? So, like, you do the percentage, you calculate the percentage before the tax is added to it, right? And then you add that to the total amount. That's how you're supposed to do it. That's what the educated restaurant goer does, right?
So that means you're paying less.
Yeah, that means you're paying less.
Okay.
But the pre-tax amount, I would say my average is between 17 and 18%.
Okay, so the average is 19% for all people. That's not just for men. Baby boomers tip 23% and women tip 20%.
You know, it was 15% when we were growing up. It was 15% was the mark of greatness. When did it change to 20? And see, 20% to me is the max. That's what you get if you did an outstanding job. 23%?
If we go to a restaurant, I let my wife tip because she tips better than I do.
Okay.
Because she will round it up.
So basically, I will go
15%. Because that's what I was taught when I was a kid.
What we're learning here is you and I are as cheap as can be, right? I mean, I'm shocked that 17 to 18% is below the norm.
It is.
That's below the average amount for tipping. So, I mean, 15% used to be the best. What do you have to get? If the waiter curses at you today, is that a 15% tip today? I mean, it's unbelievable how much
I'm sorry.
Changed.
If service is bad, if service is slow, if you find something in your food, there are things that take away from the tip.
What would it take for you not to get a tip?
Not getting my food, which has happened. I've had to get up and leave. Yeah, because I've waited. You know, yeah, if you're sitting there a half hour and they don't even come up and ask you what you want to drink, that's not good. And
no,
it's happened a couple of times.
No, it's not great. All right. Which is the hardest thing for you to say as a man, Lonzo? I love you. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I need help. Worcestershire sauce. I appreciate you. I'll be honest with you. I've worked with Lonzo now coming up on 8 months. I have never heard I love you. I have never heard I was wrong. I'm sorry. I have never heard I need help. I have never heard I appreciate you. And I have never heard of Worcestershire sauce. Well, I've never heard you say any of those five things in 8 months of working with you.
Here's I'm not going to tell you that I love you just because it would make people uncomfortable.
I can feel it.
I'm not going to tell people I need help because I am the help. I can say, no, I can't.
So you're going to go with Worcestershire sauce?
I can't.
Here's a little self-improvement. Work some of those in somewhere this week. Tell somebody here you appreciate them.
By the way, I tell the people who are beneath me, the people who I am the boss of, I tell them how much I appreciate them. I tell them they're doing a great job, all that kind of stuff. I tell my wife and my family I love them all the time. If you want me to tell you that I love you, Mark. And that was heartfelt.
Thank you.
People know that they felt that. There you go. But it goes both ways.
I believe I tell you, Lonzo, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I need help, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, but use that tone. There's a tone you use when you say it.
What the hell does that mean?
There's a tone you use.
There's a tone when I say it.
It's not a reluctant tone. It's a fake tone.
No.
It's a rehearsed tone.
Appreciate you, Lonzo.
That is not the tone you use.
I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lonzo. I love you, Lonzo.
All right. Fine.
What do you got?
All right. Tom Brady does something pretty nasty to his centers. Let's quote Dan Conley. He literally stood behind me, took his hand, and stuck the towel down my pants. I walked around that game feeling like I was carrying a loaded diaper the entire time. It was the most uncomfortable thing, but he was so crazy about not getting his hands wet that he would stuff down our pants. Is that onsides or offsides? Tom Brady doesn't want to get his hands wet from butt sweat, so he is stuffing towels down his center's pants.
That is absolutely onsides, and that is the best invention ever. I would not be able to play quarterback with butt sweat on my hands. Okay, that is disgusting.
Be a man, Brady. It's just butt sweat. You can wipe that off.
That is absolutely detestable. Okay, you want to know why quarterbacks make so much? Because they're walking around with butt sweat on their hands.
Oh, like his butt doesn't sweat.
Looks, I don't want butt sweat on my hands. Give me the towel. Give me the towel. What do you think? He's right. That's a great idea, isn't it?
I think that's a preening Michigan type of thing to do. It's a preppy thing to do. Be a man. Be a football player. Deal with the butt sweat. If you get sacked, you're getting all kinds of sweat knocked on top of you. Of course, he rarely gets touched, but still.
Coming up next, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and this. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Super Tuesday edition of the program. All right. So this to me was heartbreaking. And Lonzo, you heard me talk about this last week. I felt even more strongly about this in my picks, my score on this game, which you can find on ESPNUpstate.com. Mark My Words is the name of the blog. My week three picks in college football. My score in this game was Virginia Tech 31, Furman 30. Virginia Tech was a 24-point favorite over the Paladins. They trailed 14-3 at halftime. They won 24-17. Furman was right there. And we've seen this happen to the Paladins in two consecutive weeks. The week prior was up 20-3 on Georgia State. What's the difference between FBS and FCS schools? You don't have the depth. They wear out in the second half. So Furman is up 20-3 on Georgia State. They lose 48-42. Furman is up 14-3 on Virginia Tech, and they fall in the second half when the depth starts to come into play, 24-17. But I'm here to tell you, man, I am so damn proud of this Furman Paladin team and how they are competing at such a high level. And, you know, they were number 16 in FCS heading into this particular game. This Furman team, man, is no joke, and they're competing with legitimate FBS schools. Georgia State, Virginia Tech, they're right there, man. And soon we won't be talking about close. Soon we won't be talking about a cute little story. Soon we'll be talking about a real bona fide upset that the Paladins were able to pull off. 163 yards rushing for Furman against Virginia Tech on Saturday. The top three at three coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.